Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Lamed Tes. So we got to the bottom of Lamed Ches Amud Beis. The mission begins, Ein nosin beitza b'tzad ha-mecham b'shvil shetiskalgel. A person should not place an egg, a raw egg, next to mecham, next to some type of hot kettle, hot pan or hot pot, in order for the beitza to cook. V'lo yafkenu b'sudar, nor should a person place an egg in a sudar, some type of handkerchief, and cook it in that. Rabbi Yossi Matthew, Rabbi Yossi permits that. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, V'lo yafkenu b'sudarin, lo yishberenu al sudar, shehu cham b'cham. A person should not crack an egg in a handkerchief that was heated from the sun, in order for the egg to cook. We know egg cooks very, very easily. So in theory, one could place a hot handkerchief that was heated from the sun and cook it. That would be a violation of Bishul. We'll see more about that in the Gemara. However, Rabbi Yossi permits one to do this on Shabbos. The Mishnah continued, a person should not bury an egg inside some type of sand or dirt that was heated from the sun as well, so that it should bake. So here Rashi points out, we're going to see in the Gemara, why Rabbi Yossi agrees in this case that this is aser. He doesn't argue, implies that he agrees by burying the egg in the chol or the avak drachim would be aser, but putting it in sudarim in the handkerchiefs would be mutter. So we'll see that in the Gemara. So then the Mishnah says, Anshei Tveria, the people of the city of Tveria, Maisa Sha'asa, Anshei Tveria, there was a Maisa, the people of Tveria, Veviu Silon Shel Tzonan, they placed a pipe of cold water, they had a plumbing running through with cold water, passing through the Latoch Amash El Chamin into the hot springs of Tveria. So they would do this on right before Shabbos, they'd set this up, and in order for the cold water, as it passes through, it would heat up on Shabbos itself from the Chami Tveria. So when they found out, the Chacham found out that what was going on, Amru Lehem Chacham, and the Chacham said to them, in B'Shabbos, if you're doing this on Shabbos, so then that water that's being heated up on Shabbos, it Kichamim Shehuchma B'Shabbos, that has a din of any other hot water that you heat up on Shabbos, which would mean it's Asurim B'Chitza U'B'Shia. You can't bathe in it, nor can you drink it. So there's no Tu'elis. If you're doing this for Shabbos purposes, that cold water that's passing through the system on Shabbos is Asur. That's Asur to drink, it's Asur to B'Chitza. So you shouldn't do it on Shabbos. And if in the Yom Tov, if you're doing this for Yom Tov purposes, then that has a din of kechamim shehuchma b'Yom Tov. That's like hot water that was heated on Yom Tov, and that's asurim b'chita umutar b'shtia. Although you can't take a bath in this, we'll see on Shabbos the dinim later on, rather in Amud Beis, we'll see the dinim of bathing on Yom Tov, but you're allowed to drink from it because you can cook water to drink. You can't cook water on Yom Tov in order to bathe. So that's what they said. Depending why you're doing this, Shabbos is completely asur. Yom Tov, you're allowed to drink such water that passes through Chami Tveria. So the Gemara asks the question of the last two lines of Lamed Ches Amud Beis here, Ibailu. Gilgal Mai. Let's say a person does in fact roast the egg in the sun. What would the din be? Can one eat it? Can one not eat it? What's the din? So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, one who's Gilgal is Chayiv. Gilgal, one who cooks is Chayiv Chatas. So Amar Mar Bre Darina Af Ananami Tanina. We also learn this din, Kol Sheba Bechamin Milifnei Shabbos. Anything that came into contact with hot water on Shabbos, meaning it was fully cooked, you could soak it in hot water on Shabbos as well. Because we hold ein bishul achar bishul. Once something was cooked once, you're allowed to cook it again. So for example, let's say you have a matzah bowl that was cooked in water before Shabbos, or croutons that was fried in oil. So that's called a bishul. Whenever there's liquid, that's bishul. So if it was bishul, even though it's cold now, you could place it in boiling soup on Shabbos because ein bishul achar bishul. So that's what it means. Kol sheba b'chamin milifnei Shabbos. Anything that was cooked before Shabbos, shorin oso b'chamin b'Shabbos, may be soaked and cooked in hot water on Shabbos. Look at Rashi just to strengthen this. Kol sheba b'chamin, kol miluach sheba b'chamin, anything salted that came into hot water me'er Shabbos, chosen v'shorin oso b'chamin b'Shabbos. You could re-soak it, re-cook it in Shabbos. Vein bo mishum tikun shereit niskan fire. Already was fixed. And Rashi goes on later to say it's really an issue of bishul. It was already baked. Then the Gemara says, v'chol shelo bo b'chamin milifnei Shabbos. Anything that was not cooked before Shabbos, madichin also b'chamin b'Shabbos. You can't be shorin, you can't soak it, but madichin, you could pour water over it. In our terms, we call it iwur. Iwur is allowed, so you can't place it into a kli rishon if it wasn't cooked, but iwur, a kli rishon, you could pour from a kli rishon on top of this. So we'll look at Ratos in just a moment about the halachas of iwur, but again, if it wasn't cooked in the hot water, you could pour over it only. Iwur is allowed. With the exception, the Gemara says, Chut min amaliach yashan v'kuyos haspanin shadachasan zuhi Gemara malachtan shmamiyah. With the exception with a few food items, which is a maliach yashan, is an old salted fish, or kulyos ha'ispanin, some type of Spanish mackerel, they say here. So the din is that you cannot wash, you cannot pour water over it, because since these foods are very sensitive and easily cooked, they're called kali abishal, easily cooked, like tea is kali abishal, easily cooked. Pouring over it, iroi would in fact cook it on Shabbos. Outside of that, iroi on something would be permitted. So we see is gumashmami. Now that's what we learn from here. We learn from here that this is a chayv chatas. A person who cooks an egg on Shabbos would be in violation of chayv chatas. So Gemara now says that rather look at Tosas for a moment. Tosas has a question about iroi. Iroi kli rishon. The way it works is kli rishon is a pot that was on the fire. And you took it off the fire, but still in the pot. That pot, that chicken chew pot, is still called kli rishon. Now, if you pour directly from that pot, that's called iroi kli rishon. So what's the din of iroi kli rishon? The Gemara had said here, something that wasn't cooked, so even though you can't put it in a kli rishon, iroi from a kli rishon would be permitted. So Tosas writes, Dibra maschil kol sheba b'chamin milfnei Shabbos. Perish shenisbashel legamri. That it was fully cooked, kin mefarish lakhaman meperkavis, kigon tarnagolis, the Rebbe Abba, shorinoso b'chamin, I feel the kli rishon. If it was already cooked before, you could put the matzah balls directly in the kli rishon, directly in the chicken soup pot, let alone one's own bowl. V'chol shaloba, anything that wasn't cooked, madichana, so only allowed to pour over, only iroi is allowed. So Tosos now comments, l'perish rajba, the mefarish d'iroi kikli sheni, asi shaper. That according to the Rajba of Tosos, that when you pour from a kli rishon, iroi, kli rishon had a din of a kli sheni, and kli sheni doesn't cook. And therefore, this all makes sense. Hacha, this makes sense. The ein sharonoso b'kli rishon, although you can't put the item in the kli rishon itself, aval madichanoso b'kli rishon derech iroi, but you could pour it from the kli rishon through iroi. That's allowed. Aval the rabbeinu peish rabbeinu tam who holds the mefarish the iroi have the kli rishon. He thinks no. And when you pour from a kli rishon, it has the same effect or almost. It has a din of a kli rishon to a certain extent, at least a kete klipa, at least on the outside, it cooks the outside of the item like a kli rishon itself. When the Gemara here says that you pour madichin to loud, it's not madichin from a kli rishon, it's a madichin, it's iroi from a kli sheni. Vim kain, my iroi madichin, afilu sharon nami, asks Tosas. Now, if you're talking about iroi has to be from a kli sheni, so why iroi kli sheni? Even in a kli sheni itself, things should be permitted. Because kli sheni is not mevashel, according to the simple understanding of the Gemara. Like the din is, we hold kli sheni is not mevashel unless it's kali abishal, unless it's one of the items that are very easily cooked, such as tea bags. V'omer Ri says, da'afil b'kli sheni ein shorin, there are reholds, even though you're right, iroi kli rishon is allowed, and then kli sheni itself should be allowed. You can put food in a kli sheni as well, but since it looks hold ha'mai mechamin mechzik mevashel, since a kli sheni, that water is still hot, and although it doesn't actually cook, it appears like one's cooking, therefore one should not place it even in a kli sheni. So what comes out here from something very, very important here, whether or not kli sheni is mechzik mevashel or not mechzik mevashel, according to Rabbeinu Tam in the Ri, kli sheni, although it doesn't cook, it's mechzik mevashel when you put something uncooked in it, but according to the first teretz of Tosos, a kli sheni is not mevashel. Even an iwer kli rishon is a mevashel. So a very important nafkamina comes out here that is a person allowed to put milk that wasn't cooked into a coffee of kli sheni. So if it wasn't cooked before, so it depends on these 2 days. Rav Yashu suggests the person should only pour milk into a kli shlishi. So this is a big discussion because it's very possible that milk actually is already cooked. Milk is pasteurized, which is some type of cooking. So that's a debate amongst the poskim. Rav Yashu actually is of the opinion that pasteurizing is not considered bishul, but many other poskim think milk is considered pasteurized. So it depends on a number of different points here about whether or not the milk can be poured into a kli sheni, but certainly it can be poured into a kli shlishi. So Vayitin the Gemara now. The Gemara says around 5 lines down the 2 dots, V'lo yafkienu b'sudarim. A person should not crack the egg in a handkerchief that was heated from the sun. So Vahadetron, that Mishnah that teaches us later on in the Masech, the Daf Kuf Mem Vavim Ebeis, the Mishnah tells us, Nos in tafshil atoch habor, you could put food in a bor in a little pit, b'shul shehei shamor, so it should be protected from animals and whatnot. V'es hamayim hayafim b'ram, you could do hatmana of good water, you could have it wrapped somehow in a container and place in bad water, b'shul shehei tzananu, so it should cool off, that's allowed. V'es hatzonein b'chama b'shul shehei chamu, and you could place cold water in the sun so it should heat. So this Mishnah clearly says that you are allowed to heat in the sun. So are we going to suggest Lema Rabbi Yossi Velo Rabbanim? The Mishnah Daf Kuf Mem Vav is only going according to Rabbi Yossi, who allows you to cook eggs in a hot a handkerchief from the sun, and there are Rabbanim who say you can't cook an egg in a Seudar that was cooked by the sun. They're against that Mishnah. Hard to say that. A Stam Mishnah would seemingly go like the Rabbim, like the Rabbanim. So the Gemara says, no, there's a very important distinction between that which is cooked from the sun directly and that which is cooked from a byproduct of the sun. The Seudar, the handkerchief, had been heated from the sun, and then in turn the Seudar cooks the egg. As opposed to the Mishnah later on, Kubman Vav is learned as being heated from the sun directly. So what's the chilek? So it comes along in the Gemara to explain, Amar Rav Nachman, Bechama Duchoyama Lopli. When it comes to cooking in the sun directly, no one argues the Shari. It's completely permitted to cook in the sun. Why? So if you look at Rashi, very important Rashi, four narrow lines down, explains, the Shari De'ein Derech Bishula Bekach. It is not the way of cooking, and therefore it's completely permitted. So this ends up becoming a big discussion in the postgame. Rav Moshe says, if that's the case, microwaves are also ein derech bishul b'kach. The times of Rav Moshe, it wasn't normal to cook in microwaves, and therefore it shouldn't be an issur of cooking, other than the electricity, just for a moment. We'll get to a real nafkamina, two nafkaminas in just a second. But Rav Moshe, he said that he feels that in the future, microwaves will become normal, and therefore he felt that cooking in a microwave would be a violation of Bishul D'oraisa, again, is setting aside any electrical issues. Just the cooking itself, he thought it would be, since eventually it will be Derech Bishul. But Rav Shlomo Zalman says, no, Rashi isn't saying Derech Bishul versus Ein Derech Bishul. He said Derech Bishul means when there's H. Using the sun or any other the types of waves, like the microwaves, that's not ever Derech Bishul. Derech Bishul is always only when there's fire. Anything outside fire is never Derech Bishul. So even if microwaves do become normal to cook in, Rav Shlomo Zalman felt microwaves would never be considered Derech Bishul in the halachic sense, and only would be a violation of Bishul D'Rabbanan. So what's the difference whether or not a Bishul in a microwave is D'Raisa or D'Rabbanan? So one nafkin would be, when it comes to Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana. When Chola Sheyesh Bo Sakana, you have to cook them food, so now they're hungry and you only have food, you have to make the food, you have to cook the food. Is it better to cook in an oven or a microwave? So according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, who felt that cooking in a microwave is only, it's not Bishul Midiraisa, it's only Bishul Midirabanam, so one should opt for the Bishul Midirabanam and cook in a microwave as opposed to an oven. But according to Rav Moshe, who felt that cooking in a microwave would be a Bishul Deraisa because it has become, he felt, it would become a Derech Bishul, so there shouldn't be a difference cooking in a microwave versus cooking in an oven. Another nafkamina would be, we have a concept of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. If something was already cooked once before, it cannot be cooked a second time, it's already cooked once. So what if something was cooked in a microwave and then later on cooked in the oven? Do we say that which was cooked in the microwave is fully cooked? So according to Rav Moshe, who felt that cooking in a microwave is a derech bishul midiraisa, so if you cook something in the microwave, it went through a real bishul, and you could recook things on Shabbos. But according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, who felt that cooking in a microwave is only accomplishes a bishul midirabanim, so then something that was cooked before Shabbos in only a microwave would possibly be a problem of recooking it in a bishul deraisa. So let's say you cooked, I don't know, matzah balls in the microwave, and then you wanted to place them into a kli rishon on Shabbos. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that may very well be a problem. Rav Yashim says he doesn't think that would be nafkamina, really. He thinks it doesn't make difference how things were cooked. If lamaisa something is edible, so then that's considered bishul and not subject to ein bishul achar bishul. So back to the Gemara now. So we already said in the Gemara that everybody's in agreement. When something cooks directly in the sun, kuliyama lo pligi dishari, that is completely permitted. Ki pligi, when do they argue? Again, bechamat kuliyama lo pligi dishari. Betoldas or is, if you, or is fire, or that now got something else hot. So let's say you have, a pan or aluminum foil that you had heated up in fire. That's called toldos or. The aluminum foil is now toldos or, a byproduct of fire itself. Kuliyama lo pligi de aser. That's also aser. It's a byproduct of fire itself. That would be aser. And that's real bishul, Rashi says. Ki pligi, when do they argue, is betoldos hachama, a byproduct of the sun, like the suda, the handkerchief. So, my sever gazinan toldos hachama, Atu told us, or the Chachamim of the Mishnah in the bottom of Lam Nechesim base felt that you have to aser told us a chama lest it come to allow people to use told us a or. So he was gozer told us chama as well. And Mar Savar Reb Yosef felt, look, guys, you know, we are not gozer, and people can distinguish between told us chama and told us or. And although told us or would be aser, told us chama according to Reb Yosef would in fact be permitted. So the Gemara now says as follows. Gemara says, Lo yetmenu b'chol, and when it came to burying in the sand, however, both Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi agree, you cannot bury something in the sand that was heated from the sun. So Gemara says, V'liflog nami Rabbi Yossi b'ha, Why does Rabbi Yossi argue here as well? Just like he says you could cook in the sun, why doesn't he allow you to cook in the sand? So Rabbi Amar, Gzeir Shema Yatmin, the Rebbe. So is there a concern that if you allow a person to bury the egg and let it cook in the sand, which is actually permitted because it's Toldos Chama, he was concerned that might lead someone to cooking it and burying it in remets in some of the hot ashes. Hot ashes is told us ore. So even though when it came to the sudar, Rabbi Yossi didn't think a person would confuse a sudar with told us ore, he did think a person would confuse chol with told us ore of yatnin v'remetz, and therefore he prohibited cooking eggs in chol. So Rabbi Yossi v'amar, no, a different reason. Rabbi Yossi argues in this case, rather agrees in this case, because mipnei shemezes offer mimkoma. If you're going to bury in the sand, what's going to happen is sometimes the sand might be a little loose, but the dirt around it might be hard, and you might start digging, and that's going to be a violation of Choresh, because of concerns of Choresh, that's when Rabbi Yossi prohibited burying and cooking an egg in the sand. So my benai, what's an afkamina, asks the Gemara, ika benayu, offer tichoch, if it's very soft sand, if it's soft dirt, soft sand, where it's not subject to Charisha. Choresh is only relevant when it's hard dirt and you're digging up, you're making holes, but if it's soft dirt, very loose dirt, that's not subject to Choresh. So although offer tichoch is not usher because of the offer mimkomo, mazes offer mimkomo, it would be usher according to Rabbah, because it could still lead to a person, Shema Yatnin Beremetz, he might say, oh, if I could bury it in Afar Tichach, I could also bury it in Beremetz, and that would be a violation of Toldas Or. So Gemara asks a question, Meisive, from Bishimon Gamliel, Omer, Megalgan Beit Al Gabe Gag Roseach. You could cook an egg on a rooftop made from tar, it was very hot, you could cook it on top, that's Toldas Chama, Vein Megalgan Beit Al Gabe Sid Roseach, but you can't put an egg on a hot piece of limestone, that would be awesome. So Bishma, I understand, Laman Damar Gzeira Shema Yatnin Beremet, Selekla Megzer. So I understand why Rabbi Yossi would agree to this case of Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, that on the rooftop you'd be able to cook, because it's not Shayach, there's no burying on the rooftop. So it's not going to lead to Shema Yatnin Beremet. And that's why, according to Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel, that one would be allowed to cook on the rooftop. But Ella, Laman Damar Mibnei Shemez Afer Mimkomo, Ligzer. So if the one who holds that, as you're trying to bury something in the sand, you might end up scooping up some of the dirt. So in the rooftop, at least in the Havamina, there was understood that there's some dirt in the rooftop. So if a person cooks in the rooftop, he might end up moving some of the dirt, and therefore it should be usher according to that opinion. Hard to understand really the Havamina here. But the Gemara quickly answers, and Stam Gag Les Be Offer. No, a Stam Gag doesn't have dirt on it. It might be some little particles of dirt and some dust, but it's not dirt you're going to be mazes mimkomo. And therefore, according to both opinions, Rabbi Yossi would hold that you're allowed to cook on top of a rooftop, because, again, it's not going to lead to Shema Yatmin Beremetz, nor will it lead to Bipnei Shemezes Afar Mimkomo. So the Seth of Gemara now, Toshma. So we're still talking about this discussion of Rabbi Yossi, why he agrees it's usher to bury in the sand and cook in the sand. So Toshma, Maisa Shasu Anshi Tveria. There was the event that was discussed in the Mishnah Daf Lamed Ches. Ve'viu Silon Shatzoni Latoch Ama. And they had placed a pipe of cold water, passing it through the hot water springs. Shachamin. So the fact, why the Mishnah bringing this case of the Maisa Tveria? So the Gemara says, I understand, because according to the opinion, according to Rav Yosef, Rabbah, who said the whole reason why it's usher to bury in the sand is because hatmana, it's burying something, so that's very similar to the Maisa Anshi Tveria. You're burying, you're insulating the pipe of water through the Chami Tveria. So these are very relevant to each other. Ella, the one who holds Landamar Mipnei Shemeitz Afra Mekomo, the reason why you can't cook an egg in the chol is because you might end up moving the dirt around. So what's the Shaychas to Anshi Tveria? There's no dirt that to be speak of. Ma'ik Lameimer. So the Gemara says, Mi Savras Maisa Tveria Aseifakai. Who says the Maisa Tveria is going on the second half of the Mishnah, going on the question of cooking in the chol in Avod Drachim? Who says it's going on that piece? Rather, the Gemara says, Areishaka is referring to the first part of the sudar for the handkerchief. Nothing to do with the chol in Avod Drachim. It's referring to the handkerchief. So, lo yafkenu b'sudarim, Rabbi Yossi matir. So, on that, the Anshe Tveria case is going, V'hachi Kamri, says the Gemara, V'hachi Kamri lei Rabbanu Rabbi Yossi. The Chacham responds to Rabbi Yossi, Ha Ma'isa da Anshe Tveria, but don't we have the Ma'isa of Anshe Tveria? The Toldos Chamahu, V'asu lei Rabbanim. That the Chami Tveria, how was it hot? It was heated from the sun. That's how the hot springs are hot in Tveria. And yet we still see Chachamim prohibited the use of Toldos Chama. So just like they asked the Chami Tveria, so too they should ask the Sudar. And Rabbi Yossi's response is, Amar Lahu, Hahu Toldos Orhu. No. The chami teveri isn't toldas chama. That's being heated from toldas or. What's a toldas or? The chalfei apischa the gehenim, because it passes over the entranceway, or one of the few entranceways. We have a few places where there's an entranceway to the to gehenim. So one of the places, the chami teveri, it passes over there, and gehenim has a din of or, and therefore it would be aser. It's called toldas or. Rabbi Eger refers in the Gilui Nishas to the Tosos in Chulin, where he talks about the Tosos there describes that, and the Gemara describes first, that different types of negatzaras. There's one negatzaras that could develop from a burn. So the different types of burns. Some burns could come from or from fire, and some could come from non-fire. You know, it could be different sources. In the Gemara, the Tosos, what's an example of something that doesn't come from or? It's chami teveria. Chami teveria is a different type of tzaras. There's a tzaras which is called shchin, and there's a tzaras called michva. Michva comes from or, and shchin comes from heat. That's not or. And chami teveria is an example of something that's not or. So how could the Gemara here say that the chami teveria comes from toldas or of Gehenim, but Tosa says by Negam it doesn't come from toldas or? So Tosa explains there that chami teveria is not really considered toldas or, just like Abi Hilchos Shabbos it is. It's considered toldas or, but with respect to Negam, it's not called toldas or. So it's a little bit unclear. But Rav Yashi points out here from the Achronim that really the fire of Gehenim cannot be or mamish, because Chazal teach us that fire wasn't created until Matzei Shabbos. When Adam Rishon took two rocks and he rubbed them together, Gemara tells us he created Eish. So Eish was created on Matzei Shabbos, and Gehenim was already created on Yom Sheni, as Chazal teach us. So if Gehenim was created on Yom Sheni, it can't be that Gehenim is real Eish, that's real toldas or. So this all makes sense, that only the Gabi Hilchos Shabbos do we view the or Gehenim as Eish, the Gabi Bishom. But it's not really Eish, it's not really or. The Nafkamina would be, again, when it comes to this particular Negetzeras, what type of Negetzeras would it be considered Michva, or would it be considered Shchim? Okay, last three words on Lamed Tes Amar Aleph. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, Mimayis she'asu anshi teveria v'asu lehu rabbanim, bat lehamanu b'davar hamosid hevel. From that event of Anshei Teveria, Chacham decided to aser hatmana in that which is most of Hevel, even Mibodium. So let's, before we read Rashi, just understand what's going on here. Hatmana is a violation. We saw this already a couple of times. We'll learn more about it a little bit later. But hatmana is also, you can't insulate something. Now, there are two types of insulations. There's one insulation of davar she'enemos of Hevel. That doesn't produce, does not generate heat. That's enemos of Hevel. And that is permitted. You could do hatmana in that type of item from before Shabbos. But on Shabbos itself, you cannot be matman, you cannot insulate in a davar she'ena mosav hevel. But if it's an item that is mosav hevel, that does generate heat, such as chami teveria, that's aser even mibe'od yom, even on Friday, to do atamana. Now, atamana has a number of different conditions how it works. Just to throw one out, an example, you know, using a warming drawer would not be a violation of atamana, because one of the requirements of atamana is it has to be entirely insulated by the item that's heating. When you put something in a warming drawer, it doesn't touch the walls of the oven, and therefore it's not a violation of atamana. There might be other violations, perhaps how it works in pulling it open, it generates the motor, depending what system you have. But in terms of atamana, that would not be considered atamana. Another example of atamana would be, you know, wrapping a kishka in the chulin. So now it's completely insulated into the food. So, but he wrapped it in aluminum foil. Shouldn't that be aser? And they explained that, no, the only reason why you wrap the kishka in aluminum foil is so that it doesn't end up, falling apart and you won't have the kishka. You want the kishka to stay whole. But you're not wrapping it in aluminum foil to insulate it. It's getting insulated as is. Meaning when I put food in food chulin, we don't say the beans is hatmana with the barley and the potatoes. That's cooking food together. Hatmana is only when you have it separated somehow and enveloped in the food. So just because I put the aluminum foil around the kishka doesn't mean that's hatmana. I'm only using the aluminum foil so the kishka doesn't fall apart. And therefore that won't be a problem. So there are many, many different applications about hatmana. When it comes to chompa, it's a question of hatmana. It has to be fully covered, insulated by the item. If it's partially exposed, it's not hatmana. But either way, the Gemara says from here that when it came to Anshei Teveria, this was the impetus for instituting an Isser Vatamana of that which is most of Hevel, even Mibod Yom, even before Shabbos. Vafiu Mibod Yom, the Gemara says. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Batlu Hatamana, Nesra Hatamana, they prohibited Hatamana, Bedavra most of Hevel, Deha Mibod Yom, not Nusham Hasila. They placed the pipe in Anshei Teveria before Shabbos, because the cold water would get hot, they end up asking such a thing. And the Gemara says further, back inside, three lines down at the top here, Amar Ula, Ula says, Halacha k'anshei Tiberia. We pass like anshei Tiberia. Amar Lei, Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman says, Kvar tavrinu anshei Tiberia, l'sloni, they already broke their, the pipes, and therefore, this would be us in the case of anshei Tiberia. So even though Ula felt that the anshei Tiberia were correct against the Chachamim, it's already been accepted that they broke it and they gave in to the Chachamim. Fine. The Gemara now says, Mimaisa she'asu anshei Tiberia. So we have from the Maisa she'anshei Tiberia, the Chachamim said in the Mishnah, well, it depends. Depends on what type of rechitza. If you're doing it for Shabbos, not only can you not drink it, you can't bathe in it, you can't drink it either. But if you do this on Yom Tif, so then it's like the dinim of Yom Tif, where you could drink the water that was heated, but you can't bathe in the water that was heated. So the Gemara now says, very appropriate for the upcoming Yom Tif this evening, whether a person could shower in Yom Tif or not. So the Gemara says, my rechitza, what type of rechitza are we describing here? So the Gemara says, ilema rechitas kol gufa, we're talking about bathing one's entire body. So that's Aser and Shabbos, and Aser and Yom Tif, the Gemara says, it was heated up. Elacham and Shuchma b'Shabbos, who the Aser, does that imply that only when hot water is heated on Shabbos itself, that's when Rechitzas Kol Gufo is Aser. But the implication is, ha, Chamin Shuchma me'erv Shabbos. If it was water that was heated from before Shabbos, and you know, you kind of turned off your boiler so no other water is being heated, and all the water that you're using on Shabbos is already had been heated before, and if you could create such a system like that, and systems do work, so does that mean I could bathe on Shabbos with hot water that was used, that was already heated before Shabbos? Is that really allowed? Again, ha chamin shuchmu me'erv Shabbos mutarin? V'hatani, the Braisa teaches us clearly. Chamin shuchmu me'erv Shabbos, water that was heated on Friday already, l'machar, the next day, you could only be rochet ben panav yad v'raglav. You could only use that water to wash your face, wash your hands, and wash your feet. Avalo kol gufo, you can't wash your entire body. You can't bathe your entire body, even the hot water that was cooked before Shabbos. We'll learn, not together, but the next few days, the Gemara is going to discuss tomorrow's daf and daf mem, why it's aster to bathe one's entire body. It's based on Gzeres HaBaladim. They used to heat up water in the bathhouse on Shabbos itself, even though they claimed it was Erev Shabbos. So they made a Gzeira. We'll learn tomorrow, separately at least, that you can't do Rechitza B'chol Gufo. But either way, it's clear that on Shabbos, in no circumstances, are you allowed to bathe entirely. So the Gemara then says, okay, Ela Panav Yad V'Raglav. So it must be referring to, the Mishnah says that you can't bathe your hands or feet, you can't bathe on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. So Gemara says, well, if that's the case, Ema Seifa. So that's by Shabbos. So Shabbos, we said, so you can't, the water that's been heated, that if it's heated on Shabbos, you can't use it to wash Panav Yad V'Raglav. If it was heated before Shabbos, you can. But what about Yom Tov? Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. The Mishnah said, if it's Yom Tov, the Mishnah taught us that Chamim Shuchma B'Yomtif, that if you were doing this, Anshei Tiberia were doing this because of Yomtif purposes, so then the dinim of the water that was heated has a dinim of regular water that was heated on Yomtif, Shuchma B'Yomtif, and that din is V'asurin V'Rechitza U'Mutar Mishtia. That the Mishnah had said, you can bathe in it and you can wash in it. Meaning now we're talking about if the focus is bathing Panav Yad V'Raglav, like we established by Shabbos, so now what comes out is you can't wash your face with water that was heated on Yom Tov. Is that really true? You can't wash Panav Yad V'Raglav on water heated on Yom Tov? So we're going to say that's the Shita Beishamai. Lema, Tanan, Stomach, Beishamai. Our Stam Mishnah, Masecha Shabbos, is learning like Beishamai, who holds that the Tzan Mishnah Beita says, Beishamai Omrim, Lo Yicham Adam Echamin L'Raglav, a person cannot heat water up just simply to wash his legs. Elim Kainer, Ruin L'Shti, unless he really makes it for drinking purposes. So if you look at Tosas, just to be clear, Tosas writes the first wide line down, he writes really one narrow line up. Elim kein ruin l'shtia, nir l'ri, the dafka shemechamim osam l'tzach shtia. Shami only allows you to use hot water to wash your legs if you first cooked it up mamish to drink it. Aval l'tzach rechitza, if you heat the water for the purpose of rechitza, according to Beishamai, av agav de ruin l'shtia, even though it is drinkable, asri Beishamai, it's asr. So Beishamai only allows you to heat water up to drink, and once you have it for drinking, you could wash the raglav up. But the Mishnah sounds like Ilichachila. So that sounds like our Mishnah in Shabbos is going like Beishamai. That water that was heated up on Shabbos is Asif Ruchita like Beishamai. Beis Hillel Omrim, back to the Gemara, Beis Hillel Omrim, Matir, he permits it. So very unlikely that our Mishnah Shabbos is going like Beis Shammai, who we don't paskin like, that you can't heat up water to wash Panav Yadav Raglav. Beis Hillel said you're allowed to heat up water for Panav Yadav Raglav on Yantav. What about Kol Gufo? Before we go back to the Gemara, actually we'll come back to this Tosef in a second. So how do we reconcile this? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Ika Bar Hanania Lishtate Ben Kol Gufo Askinim. We're not talking about a bath where you go into a bath. We're talking about pouring water. The shatev, taking a shower. Taking a shower would be a different din. That's what we're describing here. V'hai Tana, the Gemara says, who's a Tana who holds the shatev? So that you can't do a shtif on Shabbos. And just look at Rashi just for a second. Rashi says, the shatev, shenosin al gufo u'mishatev, where a person places the shower, pours the water over his head. That's what's being described now in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so in Hai Tana, who's the Tana who holds this way? So the Gemara says, it's going according to the following. The Tanya, the Baisa says, lo yishtatev adam kol gufo bein bechamim bein betzonein, a person cannot shower. Again, shower is pouring the water over as opposed to going into the bath. Because the whole institution of bathhouses were based on going in a bath, entering into water, here's pouring water over the head. So the first opinion of the Brayis is Divrei Rabbi Meir, you cannot, lo yishatev adam kol gufo, bein b'chamim bein b'tzonin, whether the water is hot, whether the water is cold, you cannot take a shower on Shabbos, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Matir, Rabbi Shimon permits one to take a shower entirely, whether the water is hot or water is cold, the hot water is only allowed if it was cooked before Shabbos, and Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'chamim asur, b'tzonin, mutter. So he holds that Chamin's Aser, but Tony's Mutter. So our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Shimon. Look at Rashi. Rashi is the High Tana, Rabbi Shimonim. Dematir l'shatev kol gufo b'Shabbos b'chamim shehuchma b'er Shabbos. That if the water is heated from before Shabbos, you're allowed to. Remember, our Mishnah says that the Anshei, the Chamei Teveria, the Tzonei, the water that was heated up, has a din of huchmu b'Shabbos. Huchmu b'Shabbos is Aser. The implication is, if it was cooked before Shabbos, then you're allowed to rochets kol gufo, but rochets kol gufo is only allowed if it's l'shtativ, only if it's taking a shower, would that be permitted. So back inside Rashi again. Again, ha'inu d'kamer k'chamin shuchman b'Shabbos aser, ha shuchman me'esma l'sharim. V'i b'yamtiv, with respect to yamtiv, says Rashi, k'chamin shuchman b'yamtiv, v'aser b'rechita, v'afil beis hillel, lo sharu l'hasam b'yamtiv, elo l'panav yodav raglav, aval l'shitav kol gufo lo. Even Beis Hillel, who allows you to heat water up on Yontif, he does not allow you to heat up water on Yontif for the purpose of showering. He only allows you to heat up water on Yontif for the purpose of washing hands, face, and feet. And that's how you reconcile the Gemara. That's how you deal with it. So the Gemara then says, I'll go a little further, I'll go through a very important Tosos about Bizman Hazeh, whether or not taking a shower bath would be different, called Gufo. So Gemara says, now after establishing our Mishnah is like the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, who permits one, if the hot water was heated before Shabbos, you could use and take a full shower before, and that's allowed. Only bathing is usher on Shabbos across the board, but l'shtatev is permitted as long as the hot water was heated before Shabbos. So Amar Rav Chisa says, Machlokis b'kli. This whole discussion is only true with the kli. What's that mean with the kli? So Rashi says, b'kli, that Roa Omer, the guy sees you taking a kli, a pitcher of water, a bucket of water, and pouring over your head. That Roa Omer, the guy who sees you, says, Hayom huchmo. He says, oh, he warmed up the water today. U'muchacha milsa. They told us, or ninu. It's clear that it's in a kli. It wasn't from a fire, so it was a told us or, because the water is now a byproduct of the fire itself. And Vasila Hachem Bishabis could go no Saint Tony Bachaman. They're going to end up heating up water in this way as well. They'll start, oh, I could also put cold water in hot water. I could put cold water in Chamei Teveria. And because of that, he says, that's a dispute about putting in a kli, that machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Meir, that's all with a kli, whether the shatev is permitted with hot water in a kli. About bakarka, divrei kol mutter. But if it's in the ground, everyone agrees it's allowed. You could take it, not to go in it, but you could take the water to rinse with it. That would be permitted. So Gemara says, v'ha ma'isa danshi teveria bakarka hava v'asile. Wasn't the whole story of Anshi Teveria in the Karka, and yet they still asked her? How could you say everyone agrees that if the water is in the Karka, then that would be allowed? So the Gemara said, Ela Itmar, if you're going to say Hachitmar, you should say as follows. Machlokis Bakarka, if there's hot water in the ground, So then that's that was cooked from before Shabbos. So that's the dispute, whether you could use that water to rinse one's body. Avab a kli, divya kol asr. But if a person is using a kli to have the hot water pouring over his head, there everyone agrees that it would be prohibited. So before finishing the daf, it's a very, very important Tosas here. Dibra maschil, beis hillel matirim. He says, Tosas says, like Rashi says, mashma dafka l'raglav, beis hillel only allows you to heat water up on yontif for the purpose of washing your legs, but for one's entire body, it would not be permitted. But so if you jump down three lines in Tosas, the end of the line, v'omari, Omri, he says, B'shem Riva, the Rechitza ain't ela l'tainug. The Rechitza is only for tainug, it's only added enjoyment. And therefore it's asur, it's asur to do havara for just a tainug, as though it's not a tzarech. K'mo mugmar, it's also just like burning incense, is only it's a tainug, it's not a necessity, it's not a real tzarech ochal nefesh. But just like mugmar is also, even though havara is permitted, havara is only permitted at tzarech ochal nefesh. Not dafka ochal nefesh, but something that's tzarech ochal nefesh, that's shavachol nefesh, that everyone could enjoy from it. So mugmar, not everyone enjoys the incense burning, and not everyone enjoys rechitza kol gufo every single day. So as Rashi Tosa goes on to say, the asr b'per kamet the kesubis, b'shem d'ein shavachol nefesh, it's not shavachol nefesh, and therefore, according to this Tosfos, he says that v'chein mashma b'yushalmi, t'haynu t'haymi d'rechitza, aval zeya shavachol nefesh. Zeya, going to a steam room that everyone enjoys, that's a shavachol nefesh. But rechitza, back in those days, was not considered shavachol nefesh. So there are those who contend that nowadays, or Shlomo Zalman among them, that nowadays the rechitza kol gufo is shavachol nefesh. And yet others say, no, once it is ready, established by the Gemara, and established by Tosos, that's not shavachol nefesh, therefore it should still be asr. So this is, of course, subject to a dispute based on that, and you have yesh v'yesh on both sides, you have to speak to different rabbanim. There certainly is a good reason to be lenient, and certainly if a person is dirty and very uncomfortable, that would seemingly be shavachol nefesh. If it's a shavuos and it's really hot and sweaty, so that would certainly be shavachol nefesh, seemingly. But not all poskim agree, so discuss with the various poskim. So let's finish the Gemara. Now the Gemara says last few lines as follows. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Rabbi Yehuda, we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is one who holds that you could rinse your body, you could take a shower in hot water. You could take a shower on Shabbos with cold water, but you cannot take a shower on Shabbos in hot water, even though it was heated from before Shabbos. This happens to be very relevant Bizman Azeh. It came up on Shabbos and Yontif. Now with coronavirus and women having to go to the mikvah and being concerned of having any of the virus tracked in from the mikvah, so can they shower on Shabbos and on Yontif? This has become very relevant. So certainly a cold shower would be allowed. The question becomes, is a hot shower allowed? And what some posts were saying is certainly in Yontif, one could take a lukewarm shower just to clean the body. And perhaps, but in Shabbos, however, only a cold shower would be allowed. Okay, so then it also becomes an issue in general in terms of forgetting Hilchos Shabbos for a moment. The base in the Gemara earlier we saw in Masechta Shabbos that they said you can't take a shower after the mikvah because they used to say that it was the shower that was was metahir and not the mikvah. So the asr taking showers after mikvah, you always have to contend with that. But the poskim say that concern even during the week, one can shower after mikvah in the current circumstances of coronavirus. But outside of that, a woman should not take a shower after going to the mikvah. The Gemara now says, Vayter, that we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, that again, taking a shower on Shabbos, cold water is allowed, but with warm water, hot water, it's awesome. So Amar Lei, Rav Yosef says, Peperi Shemilach, or Miklal Shemilach. Did you hear this from a perish, from an implication, from an inference, or did you hear this explicitly? So Miklal, what would the inference possibly be? So Amar Rav Tanchum, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yanai, Amar Rabbi, that kol, whenever you have a machlokas, two people are arguing, and then a third guy comes as machriya, he tips the scale and says, Ruvain's right, or Shimon's right, so we paskin like the machriya, and chutz mikulei matlanios, with the exception of dinim relating to the size of a rag, that's one exception, that she'afa pishu Rabbi Eliezer machmir, that even the Rebbe Elazar was machmir, Rabbi Shua was mekel, and Rabbi Kiva was machriya, he's machriya the din, ain halacha kedevya machriya, we don't pass in Rabbi Kiva in this case as the machriya, because two reasons. Chad the Rabbi Kiva Talmud Haya, he was a Talmud of both Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shua, so therefore his stance really does make a difference. And moreover, ha had the going to daf mem. Now, ha had the Rabbi Kiva lagav the Rishua. He ended up retracting the Rabbi Kiva, like Rabbi Shua rather, and he wasn't a machriya anymore. He just changed positions entirely. And therefore, so what's the din? So the, here as well, the Gemara, look at Rashi to explain who's the machri in this case. That Rabbi Yehuda is the machri. So Rashi explains that Hadabei Rabbi Akiva kedamrinan bepirkan leel loshem machri mach bin mata kaf mazaim umachri shikenegdo could go in hacha bechamin aser hashavu le Rabbi Shimon dematir bechamin. So Rabbi Shimon permits using hot water. He's yachav b'makum shayim because nimtu Rabbi Yehuda mach bin zakaf. Share Rabbi Yehuda in Rabbi Meir shavin leiser ubetonim mutar havelei Rabbi Meir betoni yachid b'makum shayim nimtu Rabbi Yehuda machbed es kaf mashkalos. Meaning Rabbi Meir says both is aser. Rabbi Shimon says both are mutter. Rabbi Yehuda comes and says chamin is aser. So he sides with Rabbi Meir that chamin is aser. And then with regards to tonin, he sides with Rabbi Shimon that it's he's mekel and therefore Rabbi Yehuda is the machriya. So this is the inference that based on that klal, Rabbi Yehuda is the machriya here and we should pass like Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says imechal amai. If it's based on inference. Is this a good inference, right? But it says no. Dilma hani milim b'masis. Maybe this din of machri is only true when it's found in the Mishnah. About the brayis alo, but when a machri is found in the brayis, such as the case right now of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, maybe the din of machri shouldn't be applicable, and therefore he says amrlei ana b'feirish milim. I heard this explicitly that we do in fact paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. Let's stop here. Everyone have a wonderful day, a good moed, and a good yontif. We'll continue, I guess, Erev Shabbos and Friday, and I guess we'll go back to 7 o'clock, back to the regular schedule.